Good morning. And welcome. We're very glad you're here to worship the Lord with us together this morning. Beth has a few announcements to get us started.
Good morning. The first thing to notice is today is Birthday Sunday, so I believe we're having donuts today instead of cake, so stay after for fellowship hour and join us for that. And the new words for the birthday song, for those of you who haven't heard them before, are happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, may the Lord bless and keep you the whole year through. And those are printed inside the back cover of the bulletin if you need to be prompted. This week we had our first three sessions of the Silver Sneakers class for balance and flexibility and strength. And we had a good turnout, but we welcome anybody else who would like to join. You don't have to have been to the previous sessions to join. We do everything either sitting in a chair or holding on to a chair, so you don't have to worry about losing your balance. It's $2 per session if your insurance doesn't cover it, or 12 sessions for $20. It's at 9 o'clock Monday, Wednesday, and Friday here in Swain Hall. On Thursday, from 9 o'clock to 11 o'clock, Martha Porter's going to be heading up a cleaning session here in Swain Hall and in the kitchen. Is that right? So anybody who can join us, please come. We need to do a little sprucing up before fall. Next Sunday, the Prayer Shawl Ministry is going to have some of their products on display in the back side of the room there, so be sure and stop by and see what they've been doing. And last but not least, on September 7th, from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock a.m., the Heart Pantry is going to have another one of their fundraisers at Applebee's. It's $8, and you get a full breakfast. The people from Heart Pantry do all the serving, but you do need to buy your tickets in advance. So if you're interested in going, there's a little poster in the back there, and you can get the information about who to call. And that's it.
Great. Thank you, Beth. The chorus of a song by Christian singer Blanca reads, "I'm running to the one who knows me, who made every part of me in his hands. I'm holding to the one who holds me, because I know whose I am, I know who I am." And that's our prayer for you for worship is this day, that you will run to the one who knows you, who made every part of you. And we pray that you will hold to the one who holds to you, and that by knowing whose you are, you will know who you are. So reflect upon that as we prepare our hearts for worship this morning. Thank you.
Please stand if you're able and join in the call to worship. Like a shepherd who braves the darkness in order to search for a lost sheep. Like a woman who scours her house to find a lost coin. Like a father who rushes out to welcome back a wayward son. Let us worship the God who will not rest until we have been found. Please remain standing and let's sing with joy and gladness an old favorite. This is my Father's world. You may be seated. Please join in the unison prayer of confession. Gracious God, we live in a world of unrest and distrust, and we absorb this distance in our souls. We are tired of the deceit that surrounds us, and we confess the dishonesty that bubbles up within us. We are troubled by the hostilities that fill our nation and our world. We confess the resentment that flares up within us. We pray for you to guide us along a better path. Guide us in the way of honesty. Guide us in the way of peace. Guide us in the way of love and goodness. Guide us to you. Amen.
Let's continue with in prayer. Our loving God, we lift up our prayers to you for people that we care about, people that we know and are known to us. We pray for Linda Johnson's daughter, Tammy. Pray that you would care for her and a number of health issues that she's got going on, and particularly with her kidney and her blood. And pray that you, thank you that she is doing much better today than last week, and pray that you continue to guide her recovery and give her guidance and other issues that she's dealing with in her life. And pray for Bob and Linda as they go up to be with her and help her out. We pray for Hazel Bacon. Watch over her. Help her to not fall. Keep her growing in strength. Take care of her. We pray for Beverly Brooks, that you would take care of her needs, give her strength each day. We pray for Doris Stainbrook, as she also deals with a chronic pain. Give her grace in the midst of those struggles. We pray for Ham and Bunny Geisbert. Thank you for them, and thank you as they're getting ready to celebrate their 75th anniversary in a couple more weeks, and bless them, Lord. We pray for Greg Wilson in his battle with cancer. Pray that you give him strength each day. We pray for others who are battling cancer as well. Pray that you would give them help, bring them healing. We pray for the people and the ministries of Sun City Christian Church. I pray that you do rich things in that church and through that church and its ministries. We pray for Heart Pantry. We thank you for the good work that they do. Pray that you provide them with all the supplies that they need. Guide them with how they carry out that ministry. Lord, we pray for you to give us patience that we need this week as we deal with difficult situations or difficult people. Guide us, Lord. Give us patience. Help us to handle the struggles in godly ways. And Lord, whatever else is going on in our lives this week, pray that you would remind us of your presence. Give us your strength and help us to look to you for the guidance and how to deal with those situations, whatever they might be. We lift up all these concerns and cast them into your caring hands. In Jesus' name, we pray, amen. Amen. As we trust to God with our prayers, let us trust God as well with our tithes and our offerings. Loving God, thank you for how you have blessed us in so many ways. And thank you that we have the opportunity to give back of those blessings by giving in ways that might help this church and help the ministries of this church and help others through the ministries of this church. Take these gifts and use them to your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We have the joy this morning of some special music by Debbie Tripp and Carol Maxwell and Beth Mavey.
Everyone.
Hear now the word of the Lord as it is written in the letters to the Romans. I consider that the offerings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, and not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly while we wait for adoption of the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we are saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? Let us pray. Creator and everlasting God, we pray that as we hear your holy word proclaimed through the reading of inspired scripture, that we not only hear with our ears, but with our minds and souls, and that their true meaning are revealed to us. This we humbly pray in the name of your only Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Now let's join in singing the hymn, A Song of Peace.
Thank you.
All right, we are going to start a series on what are known as the Songs of Ascent, or the Psalms of Ascent. These are Psalm 120 through 134 in the Book of Psalms. I have to, before I read this, I need to make a confession to you. When I became a Christian a long time ago, back in college, I always had the idea that Christians ought to live kind of this victorious life and always be strong and full of abounding faith. And I would read the Psalms, and I thought, it's all a bunch of whining. And these Psalms, I didn't like the Psalms. I didn't care for David, didn't like the Psalms, because they just seemed so full of just grumbling. And then I went through some more difficult challenges in my life and realized they were the Psalms, the songs, the prayers that I was praying. And I didn't see them any longer as just whining. I saw them as very much the reality of our lives at times. And so I have gained over the years a much greater appreciation for the Psalms. And they are a variety of kinds of things. I was talking in the gym the other day. I always bring my scripture, and I'm on the elliptical. I memorize my scripture, and so somebody asked me about it on one side of me, and the other side of me was a Jewish man, and so we were talking about the Psalms, and he was talking about how some of them are just wonderful Psalms, and some of them are he said, rather whiny. and they are. They're such a mix, but somewhere in the midst of those, in the midst of the things we go through, those Psalms touch us at different times and in different ways. So that's a little introduction to the first of the Psalms of Ascent, Psalm 120. And this is what is written. I call on the Lord in my distress, and he answers me. Save me, O Lord, from lying lips and from deceitful tongues. What will he do to you? And what more beside, O deceitful tongue? He will punish you with a warrior's sharp arrow, with burning coals of the broom tree. Woe to me that I dwell in Meshech, that I live among the tents in Kedar. Too long have I lived among those who hate peace. I am a man of peace, but when I speak, they are for war. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The news of the past weeks fill us with angst. This past week was the news coverage of the funerals in Dayton and in El Paso, mass shootings that left so many people dead, racist manifestos, deepening threats of war with Iran, the world's hottest year on record, stirring up growing anxiety over the dangers of climate change. What are we to do with our angst over the fears and the troubles that surround us? Fortunately, Psalm 120 provides a bit of an answer to that question. Let's begin by putting Psalm 120 in context. Over the centuries, Jewish people have been scattered all around the world. But Jewish people always feel that their true home, their spiritual home, is Jerusalem, the home of their faith. No matter where they have been scattered to, it is always a longing to a Jewish person to go to Jerusalem to celebrate some of the great feasts of the Jewish faith. And it is considered to be a tremendous joy to be in Jerusalem to celebrate Passover, Pentecost or the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Tabernacles. And for thousands of years, it has been tradition for Jewish people as they make their way up the hill, the mountain to Jerusalem, to sing this set of psalms, Psalm 120 through Psalm 134. That is the historical and the geographical context of this psalm, of these psalms. These are the songs sung as people made their way up the mountain to go home to Jerusalem. It is also the spiritual context of this psalm. It is a call to us to come home to the Lord. And these are the songs to sing as we take one step after another on our way up to the home of God. It's the songs for us to sing on our way of growing up in our walk with God. If I were the one choosing which psalm to sing first on such a wonderful pilgrimage back to Jerusalem, back to the home of God, I would have picked a different psalm. I would have picked something like Psalm 84, which begins, "How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar, Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you." That's a song of excitement, of hope, of the enthusiasm of being in the house of God. And what a great way to start off on that journey of singing out that psalm of great joy and excitement. But that is not where the psalms of ascent begin. They begin with Psalm 120. And with a deliberate and painful look at the mess of the world that we live in, the psalmist speaks of personal distress. He bemoans the fact that he lives in a world full of lying lips and deceitful tongues. He grumbles about being surrounded by those who hate peace and who promote war. And he whines, "Woe to me that I dwell in Meshech and live among the tents of Kedar." Now, one thing you need to understand here is that no one actually dwells in Meshech while at the same time living among the tents of Kedar. Those two places are on opposite ends of the map. Kedar was southwest of Jerusalem in the Arabian desert. Meshech was Kedar was southeast, and Meshech was northwest of Jerusalem in what is now Turkey. In fact, many scholars believe that the people of Meshech migrated over the years into Russia, and that the word Meshech was switched around in those changes into Moscow. What the psalmist is trying to communicate to us is that no matter where we are geographically, when we begin our journey home to God, we are beginning our journey home from a world around us that is a mess, full of distress, deceit, disharmony, violence, and despair. That is where we begin. We need to begin by facing the truth about the ugliness that surrounds us. Psalm 120 begins with this line, "I call on the Lord in my distress, and he answers me. That's the longing for all of us, to call on the Lord and to have him answer us. But I'm intrigued as I read that psalm, trying to find the answer that the Lord gives as he calls out in his distress. The psalmist moans, "Too long have I lived among those who hate peace." So does God give to him a new home in a new location? No. The psalmist prays for deliverance from lying lips and deceitful tongues. So does God rescue him from being surrounded by neighbors who are lying and deceitful? No. I don't see any indication in this psalm that God does anything to change the circumstances for the psalmist. The only answer we seem to find in this psalm to the psalmist's prayer is that the psalmist gains a deepening distress over the mess that he lives in. But that is not necessarily a bad answer to prayer. The Franciscans recognize the value of this. They offer up this benediction. May God bless you with discomfort at easy answers, half-truths in superficial relationships, so that you may live deep within your heart. May God bless you with anger at injustice, oppression, and exploitation of people, so that you may work for justice, freedom, and peace. May God bless you with tears to shed for those who suffer from pain, rejection, starvation, and war, so that you may reach out your hand to comfort them and to turn their pain into joy. And may God bless you with enough foolishness to believe that you can make a difference in this world so that you can do what others claim cannot be done. This seems to be the prayer that God has answered for the psalmist. He gave the psalmist a deepening distress over the mess that surrounded him. And perhaps that is the prayer that God desires to answer for all of us as we begin a journey home to God. Disgust with the mess that surrounds us and with the mess that fills us, so that we might be driven to take a new step or take a step in a new direction. In his book about the Psalms of Ascent, Eugene Peterson writes about this psalm: "People submerged in a culture swarming with lies and malice feel like they are drowning in it. They can trust nothing they hear, depend on no one they meet. Such dissatisfaction with the world as it is preparation for traveling in the way of Christian discipleship. The dissatisfaction, coupled with a longing for peace and truth, can set us on a pilgrim path of wholeness in God. A person has to be thoroughly disgusted with the way things are to find the motivation to set out on the Christian way. As long as we think the next election might eliminate crime and establish justice, or another scientific breakthrough might save the environment, or another pay raise might push us over the edge of anxiety into a life of tranquility, we are not likely to risk the arduous uncertainties of the life of faith. A person has to get fed up with the ways of the world before she acquires an appetite for the world of grace. Psalm 120 is the song of such a person. Sick with the lies and crippled with the hate, a person doubled up in pain over what is going on in the world, but it is not a mere outcry. It is pain that penetrates through despair and stimulates a new beginning, a journey to God, which becomes a life of peace. The movement toward God begins with a level of disgust and with a long over the mess in our lives and a longing for something better that drives us to take a step in a new direction. James Colonnani shares a story about Psalm 120 like disgust over a person's life. He writes, "A number of years ago, a man picked up the morning paper and to his horror read his own obituary. The newspaper had reported the death of the wrong man. The caption read, 'Dynamite King dies.' The story identified him as a, quote, merchant of death. He was the inventor of dynamite, and he had amassed a great fortune from the manufacture of weapons of destruction. Moved by this disturbing experience, he radically changed his commitment to life. A healing power greater than the destructive force of dynamite came over him. Thereafter, he devoted his full energy and money to works of peace and human betterment." Does anybody know who that is?
Noble.
What did you say, Robert?
Noble.
Noble, yeah. Today, he is best remembered as the founder of the Nobel Peace Prize, Alfred Nobel. Sufficient disgust over being identified as a merchant of death, Alfred Nobel changed. He took a step in a new direction. The 12 steps of AA begin at a similar place. The first step states, we admitted that we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. That disgust over the effects of alcohol or whatever else it might be for a person with a 12-step program, it's that disgust over the mess in one's life that moves a person from that to step three. And step three goes on to announce, we made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. The movement toward God begins when we are disgusted enough with the mess that surrounds us or the mess that bubbles up within us, that we're willing to take a step in a new direction. Charles Krieg writes, there is a legend that says that once upon a time, the angel Gabriel called all the angels together. Each was asked to visit earth and bring back to heaven the one gift that he thought would be most pleasing to God. One angel saw a martyr dying for the faith. He brought back a drop of his blood. Another brought back a small coin that an old destitute widow had given to the poor. Another returned with a Bible that had been used by an eminent preacher. Still another brought back dust from the shoes of a missionary laboring in a remote wasteland for many years. Others brought back similar things. One angel, however, saw a man sitting by a fountain in a town square. The man was looking at a child playing nearby. The man was a hardened sinner. But looking at the child playing, he remembered his own boyhood innocence. As he looked into the fountain, he saw the reflection of his hardened face. He realized what he had done with his life. Now, recalling his many sins, he was sorry for them. Tears of repentance welled up in his eyes and began to trickle down his cheeks. At that point, the angel took one of these tears and brought it back to heaven. And according to the legend, it was this gift God chose above all others as the one most dear to him, the one that pleased him most of all. God is always delighted when we become so disgusted with the mess around us or the mess within us that we are willing to take a step in a new direction. No wonder this psalm leads off the songs of ascent. It is a call to us to get disgusted enough with the mess of our lives that we will be willing to take a step in a new direction. It is a call to us to begin a journey home to God. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for these psalms. Even a psalm like this, a psalm that whines about the mess of our lives. It's not one of those happy songs. It's one that begins by recognizing the ugliness that surrounds us and the ugliness that fills us. But Lord, I pray that you would make us discontent enough with that kind of a mess that we would be willing to take new steps to come closer to you. Guide us, grow us in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing together. Precious Lord, take my hand. One comment. Notice Nancy getting up to help get a wheelchair. It's mornings like this when Stuart is not here, we especially recognize how much we miss him. He's always wonderful about getting the walkers and such. So if you see somebody around that might need a walker and might be conscientious to go ahead and grab that for that person. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May he lift up his countenance to you and grant you peace, both now and the life everlasting. May all God's people say, amen. Amen.